Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
You know what makes this different? They ain't never seen this Cam. You want to know how I know? They ain't never seen him. The forgotten Cam. Felt like I was just left to die.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, guys, big day today. As we had breaking news, Mike Conte came on the radio show and talked about the Big Ten deciding to cancel fall sports. You have a lot of reaction right now. And this just dropping, Pac-12 postpones all fall sports, hoping also to play in the spring. We told you Brett McMurphy had this about 10 minutes ago, and now it's dropping elsewhere. I guess the official announcement is coming down at 4:30. So before we get to Wes Durham, and we're going to get his thoughts on this, he, of course, he hosts a big show on the ACC Network, is the voice of our Atlanta Falcons.
His name is Wes Durham, as Carl's having some issues with his service out there. We're going to get that fixed. But meanwhile, Wes does join us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Does a great job doing ACC radio and TV. What's going on, superstar?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good, brother. Tough news as we now hear it's official with the Big Ten and now Pac-12 as reports are coming down. What do you make of this, Wes?
Oh, Mike, I think that, in June, we had all hoped that if there was going to be teams in schools that didn't feel comfortable playing or that their resources weren't going to allow them to test the right way, that, you know, it might be Power Five. The Power Five would be excluded, right? I mean, these commissioners had all seemed to be working, as continuous as possible, with Jack Swarbrick, the AD of Notre Dame, being the sixth guy at the table. And, you know, in June, I felt like that we were probably doing the right things as a country and the numbers were skewing the right ways. And then when things got a little balky, mid to late June and then carried into July, I think there was real concern about, you know, certain states in the country. And that's everybody I talked to beyond the ACC and within the league was concerned that, you know, what if somebody started to lean as to not to play, right? And I think the Big Ten was the first in the water to say we're not going to play non-conference games. And then the Pac-12, who traditionally has followed the Big Ten and a lot of things, went right behind them. And then all of a sudden that put the onus on kind of where the other three leagues were going to go. I think it's important to know that in the last couple of weeks, every indication I've gotten from ACC right. and people that follow the SEC and so forth is that these task force that have been created by the conferences themselves, which they tried to feature the best medical people they have on each of the institution's campuses, have really started to have a lot of input in this. That certainly is the case in the Big Ten. The other scenario playing in the Big Ten is that Kevin Warren is the brand new commissioner of the Big Ten, who came over after spending many years with the Vikings in the National Football League. He's 8 months into his administration, and the presidents and chancellors in the Big Ten, knowing that Kevin's platform, his biggest platform as commissioner of the Big Ten, is student welfare. The presidents and chancellors are all about student welfare, and as you've seen in the last 48 hours since over the weekend, there's a lot of concern in the Big Ten about myocarditis and some of the things that could develop post COVID-19, along with some of the hotspots in that footprint. The thing we're getting to, and you guys, I heard Carl mention the Pac-12, if the Big Ten went, the Pac-12 mm-hmm. is just going to follow.
Right.
And there are a lot of underlying issues with the Pac-12 from a financial standpoint at this point too. Not to mention you've got two states that are going to have real quarantine issues, Arizona and California. So it'd be hard to play. But the Pac-12 was also reported by the folks in Portland was going to have to take a $64.5 million line of credit to play. Mm. Okay, so we've got all sorts of scenarios, and as I told several people this summer, the cards have all been flipped over on the table, and people have gotten a deep look behind the curtain now at the world of college athletics to see just how fine a line some of these institutions and conferences are working. I'm not surprised at the first two, but, you know, the interesting part of it is, and you guys, I heard yesterday as I was driving back into town, I heard you guys talking about it. Now you're starting to see where, like, the ACC, the SEC, and the Big 12 are going to have to make this hard decision, too. And the decision to go or not go is a very, very complex and difficult decision.
Wes, how much do you think the players' demands played on this as far as, you know, nothing has been accomplished? But we know as we move forward that it seems as though the players are going to command more and want more from their conferences and their schools. How much of that do you think played into this particular decision?
Well, Carl, I think the campaign of student athletes is just beginning. I think, you know, look, a lot of things have happened in the pandemic that have, you know, are going to change the way we live our lives as, you know, people in this country going forward. Well, it's also certainly going to change the way college athletics is portrayed, right? But, I mean, some of the stuff that the Pac-12, you know, the student athletes in the Pac-12 went with a couple of weeks ago, some of that stuff is spot on. Some of that stuff's crazy. I mean, 50% of revenue to be dispersed back among student athletes. Well, you know, I don't know how the economics work in the Pac-12, but I feel fairly confident that 50% of the revenue would put the league out of business, right?
That's right, right.
I mean, so you can't expect 50% of the revenue. Now, you can ask for 50 and hope you get 10 or whatever, but some of the things that I thought they were spot on with, like, you know, post-career health insurance. Look, it's no different at the collegiate level than it is at the NFL level. You just don't hear about it collegiately of kids who finish their athletic careers, graduate with a degree, and then they have to go find a job so that they can continue to receive health insurance, right? So, you know, I think some of that stuff is attainable, but, you know, the splitting of the revenue, that's not. That's, you know, look, we go through professional sports labor situations where they don't get 50%, so I thought 50% was a little out over their skis. I do believe that student-athletes are empowered now in a way, Carl and Mike, they've never been empowered before. And I think some of it dates back to, you know, the George Floyd situation, Black Lives Matter, the Marvin Wilson situation at Florida State. I think the, you know, things that you've seen happen in both the ACC, SEC, and other leagues around this country, I think it's important student-athletes have a voice. And the fact that the social movement is being, you know, really keyed by 18 to 35, I think is really something that student-athletes have embraced. And I can tell you that the We Want to Play thing that happened over the weekend, that was calculated and orchestrated by the premier college football players in the country. And the fact that one league today has chosen not to play, there's going to be some ramifications from that. What they are, I don't know. That's why, you know, as I've said before, this thing's just been a moving target now, really, since about mid-June. And I suspect it's going to be a moving target till we put a, you know, ball on a tee and kick it for real at some point this fall.
It is Wes Durham. That's right. Durham, not Drewham. And he joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline with ACC Network, radio TV star. And Wes, you know, we talked about it. If SEC and ACC play, media is going to kill them. We know where that's coming. Those guys are just circling around with sharpening the knives, or it's the money grab. But the TV networks would broadcast it.
Yep.
If you can get, I've always said, why can't they get some kind of, I don't know, call me crazy, why can't they front a loan to do the things protocol-wise to truly, not a bubble, but close to a bubble for their athletes?
Well, I don't, Mike, the bubble situation that the NBA is doing and that MLS has also had some success with outside of what, Dallas, I guess, and another franchise, right? I guess, you know, those certainly are nice on paper. I just talked to somebody that left the NBA bubble yesterday who's going back in 2 more weeks to work. And the NBA, you guys know that's over $100 million to get that done? I mean, you know, there's not $100 million lying around now to get college football into a bubble. But, again, stranger things have happened. I think college football is really learning a lot from the misgivings of baseball and the way the NFL has started. And I think that's important. That's why I think the thing you are going to hear probably in the next 48 hours is why did the Big Ten, who released the schedule last week, make the decision today? And I think that's the thing that's really going to be scrutinized more than anything else. Look, I think there are certain people that think the ACC and the SEC are going to play and going to try and play, and then if problems break, then they'll shut it down. And I just don't think the bubble is – you can do a lot of things on a college campus. We ran cuts from coaches and players this morning on our show where, you know, they're talking about trying to do all the safety protocols and processes that each institution is set up and each league is set up. And I really do believe that's honestly the best approach until you get the full enrollment back on campus. And there are a lot of coaches that have told me from the ACC in the last 2 weeks, their biggest concern is the introduction of the general population back onto the college campuses and what that looks like for their respective teams 2 weeks later. Because that's going to be the real test, I think, guys, is the value and the, you know, and the possibility of college football playing a, quote, normal season.
But we've seen, Wes, like, and Carl, Notre Dame, we saw the testing that they've done on campus there as students have returned. So, I mean, there's some mechanisms in place. I mean, you could even argue you could reduce scholarships, keep guys on scholarship, but reduce the number of bodies that would be in the locker room, for instance.
Well, the ACC's cut loose an operations manual where they've done two things already in college football this year. They've extended the sidelines from the 15 to the 15, okay? So the other thing is, and the SEC has done this, I just haven't seen their manual. I've seen the ACC operations manual. You cannot dress more than 75 players per game now, home or away, in the ACC. And I'm going to guess that that's probably something that was hammered out in the spring and summer when they had these calls among the league. So I'm going to say that the SEC's probably in the same neighborhood, may not be the exact same number. So I think that certainly helps. But the reality of this is going to be, you know, again, the incorporation of the general population. There are a lot of things you can do, but really you have to see what life is going to be like. And your point about Notre Dame, Mike, is good. But also think of it like this, guys. The enrollments at these institutions, I mean, what does Texas have? 60-some thousand people. Georgia, 40-some thousand people. I mean, when you start thinking about the general population enrollment, now I know you don't interact with all 40,000 on the same day, but what's that look like in 2 weeks? That's what I'm saying. That's why a lot of people are really going to scrutinize the Big Ten and the Pac-12 if they push through with this, because did they really give themselves a chance, or did they just go ahead and pull the plug ahead of what they thought would happen once the fall started?
Wes, tell people when your show is so that people can check it out. I know we love you on the Falcons broadcast, but your ACC show is on as well.
Yeah, Mark Packer and I do a show every morning. Starts at we resumed on June the 8th off the quarantine, and we're on 8 to 10 every morning on ACC Network. It's available on most services except for Xfinity. But we're excited. We've had a lot of great guests and a lot of coaches. We cover a lot of sports, try to talk about all 15 schools. At some point, we're going to go back to 3 hours here in the near future. But so far, it's been 8 to 10 since June. And you know, we get into some good topics. We've had some fun here during the difficult time, for sure.
Well, as
appreciate
always.
Appreciate you, Wes. Yeah, man. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, but appreciate
Carl,
you,
Wes. Carl sounds like he's broadcasting with, like, Neil Armstrong and a jar of Tang somewhere.
I'm trying today. It's challenging.
More string.
It's challenging.
Be well,
hey,
guys.
Wes, thanks so much.
Anytime. All right, brother. You know that. Call anytime.
Well, Mike, you know, we're trying to get answers. We're trying to let our listeners, you know, get as much response as we possibly can today. And that's a guy that covers the ACC like nobody else, and some of the stuff he just said, you know, there's so many things here, man. I mean, it's just, it, you know what I mean? From it's not just about coronavirus, even though that is the overwhelming factor.
Right.
There's some other things here, as you mentioned.
All right, guys, it is Dukes and Bell. It's been a busy, busy day. Pac-12 out. Big Ten out. They have postponed football. Mike and I have been talking about it with you guys all day. And thanks to Wes Durham for joining us and talking about it from the ACC standpoint. Commissioner of the Big Ten, his name's Bob Bowlesby. He says he was not shocked by the decision today by the two conferences. When asked about the Big 12, he says, I will not speak for the Big 12 presidents or chancellors, Mike. That's the Big 12 mm-hmm. commissioner.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it with Wes. First off, fans obviously want football. We get that. And we've already talked about the health concerns. And look, there's some people out there, Carl, you're not going to convince that you can make it safe for the kids. You know, and so there's and again, I've talked about those in the media, and if people don't like using the phrase fear mongering, well, it's certainly been an emphasis on the worst case scenarios. The heart condition is one thing which has come up in the last, 72 hours, the myocarditis, and worried that you could, as a young person, compromise your health. And I'm not saying that doesn't, I just want to be clear, Carl, when we talk about this for folks that are listening and hitting us up on, radio.com and on our text lines and on Twitter. I'm not debating that there's not a risk for these young men to play football. I'm just saying, when will we have an acceptable risk? That's why I said earlier to you, I said the spring, the vaccines, we've already done the numbers on that. You know, we already talked about that. You got a third of the country won't accept a vaccination. You've got 50 to 60% of the effective rate on the vaccinations the first go round, if they are effective at all. So, I mean, my point I'm getting is by the time we get back to football season next year, how much further down the line have we moved the needle will be the question.
Will we have done the work necessary to put us in the best situation possible?
I mean, because that's the debate we had a listener earlier. Look, we get it. And I think we all know as a country we have failed. Okay, this is a fail. There's no debating that. Whether you like the guy in the White House or you don't like the guy in the White House. You know, we had the situation right here in the state. President passed the buck to the states. You guys open up when you want to. Kemp opened up. Trump said too soon. It happened. Go back if you don't remember. It just happened a few months ago, but we were pretty lucky here for a while in Georgia. I took advantage of it. I'm going down to the beach this weekend because I can't live like this. Some people are prepared to live like that, but I can read a chart. Okay. Can you read a graph? Guys in the car, can you read a graph? Can you go to CDC and look at the numbers and then say, is that an acceptable risk? Okay. Cause do you want a world where no one ever dies? That's never going to happen. This to me is about the Big Ten and the Pac-12 and liability and conferences and universities covering their butts so 300-pound linemen don't drop dead. That's all this is about.
I wish we had answers.
Right. I mean, look, when at this point, for some folks, it'll be after Election Day, if there's a change in government. For some folks, it'll be they think the vaccination will make it work. I don't know. I mean, everyone's got their own agenda with this thing.
Well, yeah, but let's be clear. Come November, okay, and I almost dropped the S word. It's still going to be here. Okay, seriously. Right. Let's stop fooling ourselves. It doesn't that has nothing.
No, I agree with you. I'm with you. But how are people going to perceive it, and how is it going to be reported, and how is the media going to attack? How's that going
to
happen?
Here's the thing: if we're going to attempt to do a better job of having an overall national plan, that's one conversation. We can have that conversation. But the idea, like the election night, and this thing disappears, that doesn't happen. So, that's not what you're potentially looking for is leadership. Where's the plan to help us move forward, not only with the country, but also, Mike, with football? And I want to stick to sports in this instance because what has happened through the lack of leadership has now affected sports bigger than anybody ever anticipated. So, that's where we are right now. And it will continue to do that if we don't do the necessary things to set ourselves up for success as we move forward. So that's where we are right now. Frustrated? Yes. You guys hear it. You guys understand it. And I think there are a lot of guys right now who may be driving around or at home on radio.com, however you're accessing this program. Thank you. We get it. But, this thing, and it's so crazy to me. I wish I could go back and tell you how many people told me I was out of my mind when I said this season is 50-50 if it happens. And people are like, you're out of your mind. College football, it's going to happen. And now we're at this brink of the decision-making process where we're seeing these decisions play out right in front of us. And now all of a sudden, again, it's almost like, okay, you know, you've woken up from the Matrix. Like, this thing is real.
Right.
You know? And it is real. So my thing right now is, where does the ACC and the SEC go from here? More importantly, is there any college football played whatsoever? And if there is, what does that look like? Because I think those are the questions that the ACC and the SEC have to ask themselves, Mike. And, you know, I ask the question, you know, whether you have a huge TV contract, you talk about CBS calling him and saying we can do this. And it's funny because we know those things go on. But I also think that the pressures of society to say what makes these two conferences so much different than the others,
right,
and why do they feel like they can keep their kids safer than the others, are real questions they'd have to ask and be answered. I don't know if they can. And that's the thing that may keep them from not playing. And then the other side of it is, you know what? They may just say, we're going to go at it, as Wes said, and then when things go bad, we'll cancel.
So, as I said earlier, what happens? I mean, you're going to have kids on campus in Madison, in Columbus, in West Lafayette. I mean, if you're going to it's like everything else with this. Where's the consistency? You know what I mean? Like, so it's okay to have 40,000 students on campus, but you can't have 80 football players hanging around and then traveling. That's where I'm puzzled by the consistency.
Yeah, but very, very few schools are having kids on campus. That was part of this dilemma. That's why the presidents were so reluctant to do this. The idea that we're not going to have kids on campus, but yet football is so important that we're going to allow them to be on campus and do whatever they need to do so they can play these football games. Most campuses around the country are starting online. There mm-hmm. are some places that are allowing the kids to come back, but it's not full bore. You know, that is true. And in those places that are allowing it, the decision was, or the dilemma was, Mike, how can you allow these kids to come back on campus and not be tested and be under the protocols that the football players are under, yet you're wanting the football players to be in those same classes as those people and putting them potentially in danger? That was what football players were saying. So either way, you were screwed.
And now what are we going to do here in the Southeast? What are we going to do? You're going to play? As we said, I talked about it with Wes. Media is going to crucify you. You know, that's going to be going, the money grab, blah, blah. What do we do? I mean, and do fans obviously look around and say, we've got the market cornered on wisdom on this? I don't know. I mean, is the SEC going to be doing anything different than the Pac-12 or Big Ten or whatever the Big 12 was thinking about doing, you know, as far as player protection? Wes talked about all the things they've tried to implement in the ACC.
Well, and let me ask you this. Do you think, and I don't believe this, but do you think that the medical information received by the SEC is different than what the Big Ten or the Pac-12 has gotten? Right. It's not.
But I mean, you know, the idea about the heart issues and the concerns, and that sort of became the tipping point, the idea that if you catch it. Now, again, this is where you get to the big picture and talk about the odds. There's guys out there, you saw Trevor Lawrence's comments, and I understand that. But, you know, Trevor, not like we're talking about some idiot who's wet behind the ears. This is a very bright, intelligent kid who actually does a better job of presenting his arguments than some people that are in charge of college football. There's athletes that want to play, you know, and these guys are going to, and if they're not playing football, they're going to be at IMG in Bradenton or wherever they are working to get ready for the NFL draft. They're not going to be in a bubble themselves. I mean, they're going to be out there in the world doing things, getting ready for their careers. So, I mean, there were guys that are willing to take the risks. I think there's some people out there, Carl. I mean, look, you know, do I wear a mask if I'm in close quarters? Yes. Do I wear a mask walking down the street with no one within 20 feet? No. But that's, I mean, to me, there's some common sense here, and there's a lack of consistency with some of the things. Again, if some of these schools have students on the campus, then this is a crock of blank. But if they aren't, then okay. Then they are really concerned about the students and the student body and the student athletes, I should say.
All right, guys. And we're trying to, literally today, we're reacting to this as it's happening. I know many of you are as well. And as you guys do, we want to hear from you and we want your input on this. 404-741-0929. We'll open up the phones a little bit later as well as everybody's trying to digest this and kind of just take it in and go, okay, you know, what's this mean? And it means no football. It means no college football specifically. But that's where I think we're going. And we want to continue to talk with you guys about this as we move along today. It is by far the biggest story, you know, of this particular moment, because if you go back to March, canceling the Final Four right here in Atlanta in the NCAA tournament was the biggest sports thing that had happened, because you talk about cancel, and then the fact that baseball moved on with the restart, MLS, we're seeing the NFL move forward, the NBA in the bubble. But now this is even bigger, in my opinion, Mike, obviously, than the 3 weeks of March Madness, because of what college football means to this country.
It is certainly, as you said yesterday, if this was going to happen, and now it's happening with Big Ten and now Pac-12, it's the ultimate wake-up call for some people out there. Again, as we said, no matter where you're coming from, there's different attitudes and different ideals of how people are approaching this. Yeah, this is like literally, for some folks, a slap in the face, which I don't know where you've been the last 4 months, but this, for some folks, is like, whoa. Yeah, and again, I just think, and my argument was, can you try? And when you say that, people look at you, oh, you're insane. It can never, well, who says it can never work? But I'm saying that's carved in stone.
No.
Because, you know, like, I get it. Baseball players, we just saw what happened with the Indians. You got a bunch of idiots who can't follow directions, and everyone assumes that guy's going to be out doing keggers and nickel beer nights at their local college. But, I mean, I would at least like to see these guys, is what Nick Saban said. They're probably better off, you know, when they're at least under supervision in some form of supervision from the football team.
So that's the news today. And again, we're all over it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game talking about it with you guys.
Let me ask you, you think this is a non-starter? You think this would, like, we would have had Georgia in week three and then like 10 guys would have popped? I mean, and that would have been it? Do you think this was a non-starter?
No, I don't think it was a non-starter. Here's what I think. I think that these presidents thought and communicated to each other that if something of the worst possible thing that could happen, which is obviously a young man or dying, okay? If that happened and we continued on and we played and then that happened, we made this decision. And I think that, Mike, say what you want, that scared them away from making the decision of just trying, to your point. That's what I believe. All right, man, we got more to get to. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. It's Dukes and Bell.
For Yeah Man, No Man.
Kind of makes me wonder why the hell so many people are trying to tell me to slow down. Seems like I should be shutting the hell up and enjoying the show.
He's 6'1".
Not really.
From Florida.
Kennesaw State.
And gives rapid-fire questions. It's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Bo Morgan. Brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit FixJets.com to learn more.
Falcon Report's on the way. More about college football and the state of college football. Right now, it's Bo Morgan, executive producer with Yeah Man, No Man. We say, hey, man, and we invite you to have a hey, man. Mike, I think I'm going to have one here very soon.
You know, it's funny. I probably should right now. Hey, Squid, what's going on? By the way, real quick, Bo, I just, if you've been listening to the show, I'll give you a little sidebar. We're going to go look at another compound tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
So...
okay.
Two acres, Carl, in the middle of nowhere.
Wish you luck, bro. No, seriously. I mean, and by the way, I hope you get this, and I'm not saying that because, you know, but I hope you do, because I can't wait to see what you're going to do with 2 acres of land.
You understand? Yeah, and Squidbilly, you can come out. We can go bow hunting. We can get a tractor. We'll have all sorts of fun. I'm ready for it.
Can we shoot on your land?
We'll be hell yeah.
Okay.
If I get this piece of property, Carl, we will. Anyway, what's going on, Bo? It's and no HOAs either if we get this piece. We're going to go look at it tomorrow. I'll tell you more about it tomorrow in Guy Talk. What you got going on for Yeah Man, No Man?
I'm about to delete my Twitter account, and I'm going to take this bottle of Chattanooga whiskey, 111 proof, and I'm just going to turn the freaking bottle up. I'm so over these people. Now I got guys
these people, Carl.
That hockey rougher sport than football, because they're like, oh, because the people are pointing out that Marty Smith, a former friend and a former colleague of mine, Randy Cross, pointing out, goes, oh, you want player safety? You're going to play games in the spring and then turn around and play in the fall? What player safety is that? Now the guys are, oh, hockey's just as rough as the NFL, as college football. No, it's not. They literally play hockey from like August to June, and they turn around and do it again. They can't play football. Football is one of the most, if not the roughest, most brutal sports on the human body. You go see guys after they play an NFL game. Matt Ryan's a quarterback. I've seen bruises on that dude as big as a 50-inch TV. I mean, it's huge. bruises on these dudes. These guys take beatings. And if you want to tell me that it's just as rough as hockey, get out of here.
I see you're upset today, too.
I'm over. Okay? I'm over all these people that are experts on everything. These guys are accountants and part salesmen, and they want to tell us how they're experts on the sports we cover.
Hey, man. Well, I mean, like I said, this is one of those deals where it really is. It's a shock to the system. I think, you know, some people, and again, the writers that are out there that were saying this could never work, well, it's true. So congratulations. It was self-fulfilling prophecy. You guys said this would never work, and congratulations. Now, guys like Dan Wolk and Carl can focus on covering tennis. But
Mike, women's tennis, that's his favorite sport. He was very pumped about the women's tennis lineup today.
You bet.
But you know what? I don't want to get into all this. You know, guys, I watched that Richard Jewell movie.
Great movie.
It really is.
You know, it was really well done, and it got me to thinking, and we're all big Clint Eastwood fans on the show. Mm-hmm. Has Clint Eastwood's post-acting career, well, I know he still acts in some of his movies, but he is a director. He directed Gran Torino, Million Dollar Baby, the Richard Jewell film. What was the one, The Mule? Has his directing career surpassed his acting career?
Yes, I think you could. That's a push at the bare minimum, right, Carl?
Yeah, I agree. I do agree with that.
I mean, the guy, because again, they also say that if you've ever seen anything in interviews with actors or actor studio, they talk about how he works quickly. Actors love him because, you know, there's a minimal style. He doesn't get in people. There's no big ego or showy. I mean, again, he's also pushing 100 years old, for crying out loud.
Yeah,
but Watson Bryant, by the way, Carl, the Sam Rockwell character, our buddy Don knew him or knows him pretty well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was the attorney for Richard Jewell, and when he first moved here in town, I had a friend who lived in the same apartment complex as Richard Jewell, and I missed it because I got here after the Olympics, so I wasn't there. But yeah, I mean, look, the story of just a guy that he just wanted to be in law enforcement, and he's kind of a poor little lost soul, and you know, he lost part big chunk of his life, and was heartbroken, and died probably prematurely over it.
Mm, yeah,
sorry for the buzz. Yeah. Still, now we're even more depressed talking about Richard Jewell. Sorry about that. Back to you, Squid.
Well, by the way, Sam Rockwell, yeah, he was phenomenal. He's an underrated actor as it is, but he was phenomenal. He was good in that two billboards or three billboards outside of Missouri or Ebbing, Missouri, whatever the name of it is. And then he was very, very good in the Richard Jewell film. All right. Let's have some fun. By the way, I appreciate you guys letting me get off that my chest. I feel so much better. You know, normally we have the bullpen to yell, and I don't have that. So I'm just, my dog looks at me crazy, so I appreciate the vent session.
It's all good. It's where the healing starts, Bo.
Yeah, just come sit on the couch any day you want to, Bo. It's okay.
So I found this on Twitter today, and I have no clue that apparently the word name Montgomery is very hard to say, because Atlanta Dream player went on a podcast, and her last name is Montgomery, and apparently the host couldn't pronounce it.
Taking her time to do this show today I have the one and only Renee Montgomery. Is that, I'm saying your last name right?
You are not.
Is that Montgomery?
Try again.
Renee Montgomery.
Oh, I love it. I would love to keep it going, but it's Renee Montgomery.
Oh, Renee Montgomery. Montgomery. I'm so sorry. I can't.
It's okay, but y'all have to make sure y'all give me this audio feed of you trying to say my last name.
Oh, you will.
Wow. Try again.
I mean, not like Montgomery wasn't involved in the civil rights movement or anything.
I don't know why. What was that?
I mean, not that Montgomery hasn't come up in the past couple of weeks, right? Oh, my gosh. Montgomery. So what was the – now, it was that cable access, Squid? Where was this broadcaster who couldn't pronounce Montgomery working? Was he working in Montgomery? That would really be terrible, Carl.
Yeah, really.
I honestly, God, searched for a while before the show started, trying to find out where this guy worked. I could not find it. It looks like cable access. The guy is sitting behind. He's got like a fake brick step and repeat behind him, and you know he's at Mount Montgomery?
Montgomery. Is that saying your last name right?
You are not.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, look, we all have bad days, but I mean, Montgomery, Alabama. I mean, I don't know. How do you not?
By the way, how classy did Renee Montgomery handle it? She was very, because I would have been like, wait a second, y'all don't know who I am. You asked me to come on this stupid little podcast, and you don't even know. I'd have hung up. I'd have been like, I'm done.
You are
out of moment.
Oh. I like that shit. Some people would be diplomatic, but when you butcher a name that bad, Carl, you got to call the guy on it.
Yeah, I'm with her. I mean, it is an embarrassing thing because you're like, you want to be polite, but come on, man. You got to get my name right. I mean, we're doing this thing. And here's the other thing, too. Why didn't he ask somebody before? Seriously. I mean, you've hosted tons of contests in your career. I've done it. You know, you've gone places. They give you walk in and they give you a list of names. You're like, oh, okay. What about this one? What about this? You have to ask. This fool got on and went, am I saying it right? No, you're not. No.
That's like, what was that breakfast conversation like? So what are you doing today, honey? Well, I'm going to interview Rebecca Montgomery.
Well, imagine saying, hey, we need to get that Renee Montgomery person on. Well, maybe the producer should say, well, no, it's not Montgomery.
Well, then again, based on what you said from production value, he might be the producer himself. Who's the dude we always see at Falcons who walks around with his iPad filming everything? So, you know, you never know the budget, Carl, when it comes to the production value.
No, you don't. You really don't.
there's a guy that also walks around the press box with headphones on, but
Renee Montgomery. Is that saying your last name right?
Come on.
You are not.
All right, guys. As always, we're brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit fixjets.com to learn more. Craig, set our music.
Yeah, he wrapped up that interview, Carl, and he got on LinkedIn.
It's not warm when she's
good music,
away.
Craig.
Yeah, man. One of my favorite songs, too, by the way.
I'm going to go crack a beer. You take us to break. I'm going to go grab a Hayman.
I'm about to head that way myself. All right, guys. College football. Well, we still think that, I guess Mike just left. We still think that there is a small possibility that the ACC may try to move forward, the SEC. We're going to continue this conversation. If you're just joining us today, huge news in college football. But when we come back, Mike and I tried to tell you guys, some of you listened, some of you didn't, but this is why the Falcons should have moved on 2 years ago. We'll explain next.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.